Okay, everybody, we're about to start. Okay, so welcome back. Happy New Year. I can't believe we're in a brand new year and that our holidays are already over. But I'm excited. It's good to be back in the routine. It's good to see you all. Thanks for being here. We're going to dive back in, kind of picking up where we left off on our series on the living and active Word of God, God's living and active Word. And just let me do just a little step back about three lessons just to kind of so we can see the continuum that we're on as far as the teaching is concerned. So we looked at, I think it was week six, at that parable of the souls. And we talked about how we have to have a ready heart for God's word. And God's word is living and active. We learned that right off the bat, that it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to penetrate and judge and discern our hearts and to show us what's in there. Jesus already knows, right? But he uses it to show us what's in our hearts. And that he himself is the living word. Jesus is. John 1:1 tells us that. And that his life is actually embedded into the written word of God, which is, I mean, I just think that's the coolest thing, that God's word is living, is active, is able to penetrate our hearts. And so then we looked at our heart condition in that parable of the souls, and we said that on a particular topic or at a particular time or season of our lives, that sometimes our hearts can be in different places in terms of their receptivity to the Word of God. And so we are always wanting to cultivate that sense of making God's Word, our relationship with Him and His Word, to be a higher priority, to make sure that we're protecting ourselves from distractions and, you know, spreading ourselves too thin and getting in a place where our hearts aren't able to receive and benefit as much as they could from the word. And then we talked about the next week, we talked about taking God's word from our heads to our hearts. And kind of running through the theme, and we've said it multiple times in multiple ways, is that, you know, all of us, I'm pretty sure anybody that's in this class would be able to say, if I were to say to you, okay, so look at this great Bible verse. Listen to what it says. Do you believe that? And we'd all go, I sure do. You know, I believe the Bible, and so I believe that. But what we've discovered is that our heads believe it, and there's some level at which our hearts believe it because we love God and we do believe Him, and yet our lives tell a different story, don't they? Is that our actions don't, you know, our actions are not consistent with the truth of Scripture. And so what that tells us is that there may be some other, quote, finger quotes, truth, or some other heart conviction that we're holding, some other mindset that we have, some other attitude or opinion that we hold that's taken the place, it's kind of taken up that slot, so to speak. That's what's in the file folder instead of what's in God's Word. And so what we're seeking to do is, at the same time that we're listening to God's Word and applying it, we're also asking Him to reveal what's in there. So that's that discerning part that we're talking about. So we've been doing both of those. And then we talked on week seven about how to get God's Word from our head to our heart. God spoke this to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, he was at a big transition. He had a lot of stress. He faced a big task in front of him. God's call was way bigger than Joshua. And God told him, you don't have to be afraid. You can have courage and you can have my strength. I'm going to be with you. And here's the way you're going to have internal prosperity, meaning peace, joy, strength, spiritual vitality, is you're going to meditate on my word. And so we talked at length about what it means to meditate. And basically, I can just put it in a phrase. It means to return to the same truth repeatedly and to actually stay with it for, you know, multiple times. And not just go, okay, that was my verse for today. That's great. I'm going to write it down in my journal. And then tomorrow I'm going to move on to the next verse. There is nothing wrong to have for, I don't disagree with the practice of having a verse for every single day. That's a wonderful thing to do. But how that those verses are going to really penetrate in such a way that they change the way you think is happens when you stay with it repeatedly through meditation. And we talked about several ways. In fact, I have basically cut and pasted page 3 from our lesson on week 7 and put it on that blue page today. And that's just so you can have it in your tools section of your notebook, kind of to remind you, you know, if you think, I need, this is a great verse, this is exactly what I need. Well, those will be, you can just turn to that page and it'll help you to kind of work through some ideas for how to take that scripture to a deeper place. So meditation was on week 7, and then we did a meditation workshop on week 8, and then we broke. And so then we got a chance to do all the things we did, and now we're back. So today we're going to be looking at a scripture that is very famous. It's very familiar, and yet I think it is a really great one to take a fresh look at in light of where we're going in the progression of taking God's living and active word and it becoming, you know, just a part of us and digesting it in such a way that it really does bear fruit in our lives. So we've said God's word is our foundation. It's our spiritual food, and it bears fruit. And so we've kind of been really focusing on the fruitful part. And so today, the name of our lesson is abundant fruitfulness. So how does it bear fruit in our lives? Well, we've already talked about that. Now we're going to talk about how can it really bear some abundant fruit in our lives. And so let's look at the parable that Jesus spoke to his disciples. Let me, before we read it, give you just a little bit of an introduction about when Jesus said this. So first of all, let me just say John wrote this. And John, the Gospel of John is the different gospel. You know, it's different from the other ones. And he comes at what he tells us about Jesus and the words that Jesus spoke. So much of it is practical and is very relational. He calls himself the disciple that Jesus loved. And I love that about John, that he knew that, because I want all of us to have that same knowing that we're the disciples that Jesus loves too, you know? So he is speaking from that kind of heart attitude and that deep understanding. And this takes place in the upper room. And as all of you know, the upper room is right before the cross. And so what he's doing is preparing his disciples and saying to them, okay, I am physically going to be absent from this earth, but I'm going to remain with you. I will still be with you. And I am giving you instructions in chapters 14, 15, and 16. I'm giving you detailed teaching about how I want you to live after I leave this earth. And so isn't that what we do here? In our, yes, we are a Bible study, but we really like to turn it into an application for our daily living. And so let's dive in now into our scripture, and then we'll just kind of talk about some of the things that we can take away from this. We could stay on this passage maybe all year, but we've got some things that I think are going to really help us in our pursuit this year of God's living and active word. So I've used the New Living to give us a little bit fresh hearing of it. So we're going to look at John 15 and verses 1 through 11 in the New Living. It says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. So I love that word, overflow, because that you could kind of circle that and say that is the whole point that Jesus is giving here. If you had to pick one word, that would be it. So it's out of the overflow of our abiding, that we use the word abiding when we sang. Some translations translate this word to be abide. Some translate it remain, as the one we read just now. Some translate it dwell. And so let's talk about that, what Jesus said. Jesus is using this metaphor of the vine and the branches to tell us that every living thing has an optimum environment for growing and living and thriving and being fruitful. I love plants. I spend way more than I should at the leaf and petal stores around town at every location. And I've learned over the years that certain plants do well in certain environments in my home. So I have like the perfect spot for orchids, but orchids won't grow. I've got to be careful where I put those things, because if I put them in a place that doesn't have adequate sunlight, they're not going to be pretty and just abundantly blooming like the ones that I put in that bright sunlit place. And same for the plants in my yard. There's some stuff that just doesn't thrive in that spot, and I eventually pull it up and go find something that, try another one, And so Jesus is saying that about our inner lives. He's showing us how to thrive, how to grow, and how to bear fruit. And the first thing I wanted to point out is that he is asking, he's saying, I want you to remain in me, but the whole thing hinges on him remaining with us. So he's saying to us, I'm remaining with you. My physical body's not going to be here, but I am never going to leave you. I am with you. And he's with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. The book of Ephesians in chapter 1 tells us that we, his people, are sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. So we are sealed. We have the Spirit. And it's a permanent gift that he gives us. But notice that he says, when he's talking about this in the practice of abiding, he said, if you abide in me, if you remain in me. And so it is conditional. It's something that we must choose. It's something we must practice. And what he's saying here is that we've got to stick with him. We've got to stay with it. We have to stay connected. So I named this section constant connection would be, I've been seeking to be an abiding believer for a lot of years. And I'm going to tell you that even as long as I've been practicing abiding, I don't do it constantly, but that would be the goal, and that would be the most fruitful place we could be, is that the more we grow in this practice, the more fruitful we'll become. And so he wants us to really focus on this, and I think he's really emphasizing how important it is, and we'll talk about that some more. But I wanted to look at that word in the original language in the Greek. It says a remain or abide is defined this way here at the kind of close to the bottom of page 1. To maintain unbroken fellowship with one, not to depart or leave, to continue to be present. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to continue to be present with you, and I want you to continue to be present with me. I want you to abide and remain. And so in order to harness this life flow of the Holy Spirit that we have, and in order to benefit from the living and active word, we need to abide. We need to learn how to do this. And so we can sing that song, and I'm going to send it out to the leaders, and I'm going to send it out to everybody. So, Lord, teach me to abide. I think for us to realize I'm not really doing that very often, then the prayer, then let's make it a prayer. Jesus, would you teach me to abide? And it's kind of like if he's telling us to do this, then he's going to equip us to do it. So that always gives me faith to remember that. So let's talk about it. So the first thing is constant connection. The second thing is complete dependence. And so what Jesus is saying is not sugarcoating. You know, when he says in verse 4, you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. He's just telling it like it is. You're not going to be fruitful if you don't remain in me. So, you know, just heads up. If you think I can just, you know, that's a great idea, Jesus, but I'm just going to skip on to the next thing. You know, just he's saying, well, okay, but you're not going to bear any fruit that way. You know, the alternative is what comes natural to us. Naturally, as human beings, we have our own ideas about how things are supposed to go or be done, and we have our own amount of energy that we've been blessed with, and we tend to just use our own ideas and energy to live life. And what he's saying here is you've got another alternative, and it's so much better. You can depend on me. What a great idea, Jesus. Thank you so much for the gift of abiding that I don't have to depend on. I mean, I'm a pretty high energy person, but I am nothing compared to the power of the Holy Spirit. That power is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's some serious power that we have that's flowing through our beings. And so we want to be able to tap into that. It's life-giving. And so, and the great news is it's a byproduct of abiding. It's not like something, the fruit that he's telling us to bear. We're not drumming up the fruit. You know, we're not the gardener. The Father's the gardener. We're just the vine. No. Wrong. That's heresy. He's the vine. We're the branches. We're just branches, right? We're just little old branches. And I was looking at that picture the graphic for the song we sang, and that vine was just so big and just gnarly and strong and just, and the little vine was just a little bitty little, you know, shoot kind of thing, just a little bitty thing. So I want to take advantage of that big old honking vine that I'm connected to. And so I wanted to mention, and I did quite a bit of a deep dive on this. In verse 6, he says that he talks about how there's a difference between fruitful branches and fruitless branches. And he said the fruitless ones are going to be cut off, that they're dry, they become dry and withered, and they'll be cut off and burned. Okay, so he is not saying, if you don't abide in me, buddy, you're out of here. You can't be my disciple anymore. You can't be my child anymore. What he's saying is that if you don't abide, it's that sap of the Spirit that's flowing from me to you is going to be cut off, and you're going to get dry, and you're going to get withered. And, you know, some theologians and some other branch of Christianity believe you can lose your salvation. That is not what Jesus is saying here. He's just, I think he's using this because remember the context that we're talking about. He is talking to very seriously committed men of God who have left their entire lives to follow Jesus. So this message was given to his disciples. So he's speaking to believers here and saying, I think this is his way of saying, this is important, y'all. This is very important to the way your life's going to go is the choice you make on a day-to-day basis is, are you going to stay connected to me? Are you going to depend on me? And so I have just a couple of quotes here that I think will be helpful in kind of underscoring that. David Guzik said, like other parables, the picture Jesus used here was not meant to describe a whole theological system. Yet the progression described a sober and significant warning of the danger of not abiding, which is, I didn't say it quite that well, but there you have it from somebody who does this for a living. And then, and I think basically, these are my words now, this is an explanation of how Christians can live in defeat and how you cannot have the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, hope, faith, all the things that characterize the life of Christ. And so when we feel dry, when we feel withered, when we feel cut off, when we feel disconnected, and when we haven't been depending on Him, what are we going to do with that? Are you going to go, oh, man, you know, I just can't face Jesus again this morning because I've done it again? Are we going to do that? Are we going to let that feeling of being dry drive us to come in to His presence and go, oh, Lord, I need You so much. I need to depend on You. I need Your life. I need Your wisdom. I need Your word. You know, that is, I think, the appropriate response to the feelings of dryness. So I love, as I in my studies, I came across this verse and I wanted to share it, Hosea 6:3. This would be the appropriate response. It says, so let's learn. Let's press on to know the Lord. His appearance is as sure as the dawn, and He will come to us like the rain, as the spring rain waters the earth. So what's He saying there? He's saying, okay, let's just learn from that dry feeling. Let's turn, press in, and reconnect, and know that Jesus is going to be sitting right there, right there waiting, just as sure as the sun comes up in the morning. He's saying, just as certain as that is the certainty that Jesus is there for you. He's there just waiting with open arms for you to come and reconnect and to once again place your dependence on Him and His strength. So let's do a little exercise here, a listening exercise, which is what we do a lot, so we can practice and you can get a break from me. So let's just turn and make this a prayer, and then I've left space for you there on page 2 of your handout, of your yellow page, that you can jot down anything the Lord brings to mind as we do this. So we just want to pray, Lord, we just come to You and ask You to highlight the areas of our lives where we're not living in complete dependence, where we're feeling dry, withered, weary, or defeated. Now, Holy Spirit, we ask that You would lead us into all the truth of Your presence with us. Lord, we just pause for just a second to get in touch with that You're right here, right now. And You're in those places where we feel dry. And there's no fruit. Lord, we pray that You would help us to believe that You're there for us. And that You are so ready and so willing to reconnect with us in those places where we may have been disconnected. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask that You would replace any of our wrong thinking with the truth that I can do nothing apart from You. So, Lord, we want to just make it a practice. We're going to do it now. And just inside our hearts, we're going to say by faith, Lord, we're just going to declare, I depend on You. And Holy Spirit, we pray You would bring that phrase to mind over and over again when we get frustrated, when we feel stuck, when we feel disconnected from you, that, Lord, you would just remind us that we can just depend on you. Make that our prayer, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. And then, so I guess that, you know, it's just out of this awareness that we truly are completely dependent on Jesus to have any kind of fruit that's lasting. I mean, we can do things, but they're not eternal, and they're not going to satisfy us at that deep place in our hearts. You know, so in order to have those, then it's going to require us to depend. So let's just learn to get good with that. And it's from that place Jesus talks about prayer, that is out of our coming to him and depending on him and abiding in his word that we've been practicing through this meditation practice, that the prayers that he lays on our heart will come forth. You know, it's out of that connectedness with him that prayers he can answer will be coming forth from our inmost being. So and we'll be talking about that a little bit more too. So let's look at this part C, covenant relationship. So we want to approach abiding from this settled place of, I am a covenant child of God. I am a disciple of Jesus. And he has made a covenant with me that I belong to him and that he's going to remain with me always. And he's asking me to remain in him too. And so, mind-boggling that our little lives can bring glory to the Father. So I wanted to re-say verse 7, and I've done it from the Message translation so we could hear it again. John 15:7 from the Message says, if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. So, you know, just think about it. When God, we were going around the room in the leadership hour and sharing, you know, it's been several weeks since we've had a chance to share what God's been doing in our lives. And it was like, you know, it was neat because when we do what we do as groups that stay together for a while and we kind of know each other's, what's going on in each other's lives, and we've prayed for one another. It's interesting that one of the leaders said, well, I don't really have any, I don't have much to share. And then she started sharing, and we were going, that's an answer to prayer. That's an answer to prayer. That's an answer to prayer. You know, and it's neat because sometimes other people can see that before we can recognize it. But is that brings so much glory to God. We're all just like, good God, great. He's so great. He's the answer in prayer. That brings glory to God. And I love the way the Message translates this. It says, this is how my Father shows who he is. He's a good Father. He's a God who wants to provide us with everything we need. He's provided us with redemption from our sin, forgiveness for all of our sin. He's provided us with a spirit that gives us power to live in accordance to his word and his will. He's given us his holy and inspired word that's living and active. And then he births these prayers in us through that in such a way that he shows who he is. And it's so exciting to live that way. I mean, there's nothing like a good old answered prayer, is there? I mean, it's just, it really keeps, you know, it fuels us. It, you know, just that sap running through us, if we just keep that going and begin to see the lifestyle of answered prayer, it really does make us want to come back for more and stay in that constant connection and that total dependence like we talked about. And so, you know, and just think, everybody we know, our children, our neighbors, our coworkers, our whatever, whoever we're in community with, they get to watch that, and that brings glory to the Father. And all we've got to do is just depend and remain. It's really, I think it's a very good situation. So I wanted to say that this is Jesus' testimony of how he lived on earth. I don't know if you've thought about that before, but it hit me in the middle of my study in this, that this is what Jesus did. This is what he's saying. He finishes this passage by saying, this is how I did it. I came to earth, and I set aside my privileges as God. It tells us that in Philippians 2. He didn't live as God. He lived as a man. And he set aside the God part of him, and the way he did life was to stay constantly connected to his Father, to stay in touch, you know, remaining in the Word, the written Word that he knew, the scriptures that he knew from the Old Testament, and in prayer. And that's how he could answer the incredible call in his life in obedience. I mean, it's amazing. And he did it through this practice of abiding. That's what he's saying here. I remained in my Father. I remained in his love. And the overflow, the byproduct of that was my obedience. And so it's a beautiful picture. So it's not like us saying, oh, well, gosh, now that I've started this abiding, I've got to obey every single thing God ever said. It's going to be a natural outflowing of the abiding relationship and the Spirit having full rule and reign in your life. And to me, that helps me to relax into this and to know that Jesus is saying, that's how I did it. And he makes a big point there at the end. He uses his last several verses to talk about remaining in God's love. And in 1 John, John, again, the disciple that Jesus loved, wrote in his first epistle, 1 John 4:17 says, God is love. He could have said a lot of things about who God is. I mean, we've got whole books, thick books that are names of God and who God is. Tell us about the characteristics of God. But John chose the one word. If you're going to only pick one, let's pick the word love. And he's saying God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So then he goes on to tell us that, oh, and by the way, I love you just like God loves me. So, I mean, that's a mind-boggler right there, is how much Jesus loves us. And I think he's saying to us, how did I come and leave perfect paradise and inhabit this weak human body and be around all this garbage, all this sin and evil in the world? I did it by staying connected to the love of God. So, wow, that's a powerful testimony he's given us there. And he's saying, and you have the same thing I have. You have my love. You have the Father's love, and you have my love. And so as we occupy that space of really remaining in, meditating on, receiving the love of God, that I can just promise you, he's promising you, more importantly, Jesus is promising you, that the byproduct of that, that the overflow of that, what will be birthed out of that is fruit. And so I think that's just great news. And I loved this verse. And I've liked this verse for a long time, but I'd never read it in the Message. Isaiah 45:8 says, open up heavens and rain. Clouds, pour out buckets of my goodness. Loosen up earth, and I think we all need to lighten up and loosen up, and bloom salvation, sprout right living. I, God, generate this. So he's not saying, get out there and generate some love and obedience and a lot of fruit, girls. He's saying, I'm the one that does this. If you'll loosen up, lighten up, and receive, let it just flow. So, let's do a little listening now. This is kind of a big listening. So if you'll look at the bottom of, I guess this is your page 3. So we're going to pause to get in touch with God's love. And again, we're going to make it a prayer. And if you want to jot down any notes, you can, or you can just close your eyes and receive. So we're coming to you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth, and we want to get in touch with a perfect love that we are loved with. You've just told us how much we are loved, Lord. And so we really want to take that in at a deeper level. So, Lord, we're just asking, would you penetrate past anything that's standing in the way of our ability to embrace the truth that you are love and that you love each one of us without condition? Lord, show us any fear, frustration, impatience, disappointment, self-reliance, shame, any other thing that may be present, Lord, that would get in the way or be an obstacle to receiving that love today. And then, Lord, we just want to extend faith in your promise. You said in Romans 5:5 that God's love has, past tense, already been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So, Lord, we just want to take that in, that we have your love, that we are loved, and that we have your love inside of us by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, thank you that this is the truth, that really is true, whether we feel it or not, Father. And Lord, I thank you that this is just part and parcel of your covenant relationship with us. So Lord, help us to meditate on your great love in the days to come in such a way that it bears abundant fruit. Amen. Okay, so I'd like to just give you a little picture of how this looked on me this last few days as I spent time studying this passage and really trying to try it on for size and everything. This is not like some cliffhanger story. This is not a, you know, big bow on the top of the package at the end kind of story, but it's just, you know, some things that I discovered in my own trying to cultivate this practice in a deeper level. And, you know, I would say that, and this is probably true for almost everybody, I would say this is probably universally true of us, that we all have our garden variety, and I did intend to do that pun, that we had a garden variety problems, you know, that all of us have relational issues, we have these little decisions about how to spend our time, and we have bigger decisions about, you know, whatever, a trip or a purchase or a whatever that we're going to make in the out in our future, and we have you know, health issues and just different stuff like that. Those are just part of living in this world. And then I think probably most everybody has a couple of kind of more long-term, bigger things that you're kind of seeking to know God on, seeking to connect with him on, have him to speak into and trust him for him to impact and make a difference in your life and maybe a bigger issue or just a longer standing issue. And so that's kind of where I am. And so I probably had not dissimilar experience from you during the holidays. And that is, I mean, Thanksgiving came, and then what is kind of like a sprint at the gates of Cyber Monday. I mean, you know, it's like, here we go. We've got 3 weeks until Christmas. Who made that up? You know, and it just, I did a lot less this year because we traveled over Christmas so much that I didn't even decorate. And y'all, I still, my, you know, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. But so, you know, all the holiday busyness, the holiday events, the purchases, all that, getting something from the UPS man and realizing wasn't what you thought it was and taking it back over there, going out to the line at Whole Foods and taking back your Amazon order, and you know the drill, right? So I was doing all that, and then we hit the road, and we travel for a solid week, the week of Christmas. And it was fabulous. But can I just say Bob was in the hotel room every day for 7 days. I mean, you know, and I love Bob, and it was a great hotel room. But you know, it kind of horns in on my time with the Lord. I'm just saying. You know, so my quality of constant connection with the Lord, I wasn't disconnected, but I wasn't getting the depth of connection that I enjoy on a regular basis when I'm at home. And when, bye, honey, have a great day, you know, and then I can hunker down and do my thing. So, you know, we have Bob in the hotel room for a week. Then we come home, and then there's, you know, my Christmas was delayed as far as, like, opening presents and stuff. So we went to see my son and his family down in New Orleans because he was with the Outlaws for Christmas this year. And I came home, and I had some stuff to kind of catch up and everything, turn the laundry over, and then head down there. And so I'm going to just say, a part of my gig in New Orleans when I go as Kit is that I have a little grandson who's 17 months old, and he is he's joy incarnate. He is so sweet and so hilarious, and he is such a ham. He's so much fun. But what we kind of like to do when we go is to help the parents out, okay? So, and we want some time with him alone because he acts different when the parents are there, you know? So we get up with Julian early. So, and we're saying it's like 6 o'clock. I mean, I am not a morning person, so I am, like, going directly to the coffee pot and trying, hey, buddy, you know. And thankfully, it takes him a minute to you know, crank up, too. And so we get up, and so, I mean, I'm delaying my sit down with the Lord until nap time. And then half the time I'll go sit back on my bed, and it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm so exhausted. And it's like, I need to close my eyes for a minute. Excuse me, Jesus. But thank you that you give to your beloved even in your sleep, because I am wiped out from chasing this little man and picking up this 30-something pound kid, and he is huge. But anyway, so, you know, I'll go back there and I'll spend some time with the Lord, but it's just, again, it's not the quality, is not the depth. And so what happens is those little annoyances in life, the things that somebody didn't say thank you for, or the, you know, just whatever, I get more rattled. My peace isn't as solid. I'm more vulnerable to getting out of an abiding relationship and to lose my peace, to lose my joy, to lose the ability to love freely from the love of God. And so by the time we were on the way home last Sunday, coming home from New Orleans, it's like I was closing my eyes and just thinking, I'm going to pray all the way home. Of course, I didn't make it to Hattiesburg, y'all. I was dead asleep by the time we got there. But anyway, I was just sitting there praying, and I realized that my mind was so full of, he said so-and-so, she said so-and-so, what's going to happen? And then worrying about what's going to happen about stuff. And then I get the realtor pipes in and says, we have an offer on your mother's house. You know, my mother passed away at the end of October. And thank you all, by the way, for all the sweet notes and calls and everything you've done for me for that. And but, I mean, that was exciting news. But talking about turning my brain on fire. I mean, my brain was on fire after I got that message. And it was weird. I mean, it just, I realized, something kind of got rattled by that. And so I woke up Monday morning and I realized I'm not okay. You know, I was worried about, I don't know. But anyway, the combination of, I think it's set in that my mom's really gone, and I'm about to say goodbye to the house that I lived in as a young girl. You know, that hit, and plus the fact that there was a question mark about, you know, are my kids ever going to come to Birmingham again for Christmas? That's kind of on the table, so y'all can pray that that they do come back to Birmingham. But anyway, you know, so all those things together kind of left me with this unsettled feeling, and I realized when I finally got set, you know, bye, Bob. Good riddance. I mean, bye, have a great day. That I finally sat there and I realized, you know, I just sat there and I realized I need to have a good, ugly cry And then I need to just pour all this junk out before the Lord that had kind of built up. I had a little messy buildup going because I had not had adequate time, the depth of time that I needed for a good bit of time. And so dry, withered, you know, kind of worn around the edges, a little frazzled. I would say that was kind of true of me. But let me tell you what happened. And then I was thinking, gosh, I got Bible study next Tuesday. I mean, that's like just a little over a week away. And I'm thinking, I need to be in an abiding position if I'm going to be teaching on abiding, you know. And so, so there's that. And the gift that I have, that this is really a gift to me, and I mean it, is that I want to come to you guys from a place of having really sought the Lord and really listened to the Lord and to be really sure about what this message that he has for us, that he has for me first, and then I'll just turn around and tell you what he taught me kind of thing. And so, but what I kind of realized, y'all, and this is, it feels dumb and no duh to say it, but it's like about a day and a half of sitting down with my Bible open and my journal open and praying and singing a few songs, that is medicine for whatever ails you. I'm going to tell you, that is the salve, that is the balm of Gilead, that is the ointment, that oil, you know, they applied to the guy that, who was the Good Samaritan, used on the beat up guy on the side of the road. I mean, man, I got that good healing oil was just flowing from being in the presence of the Lord, and it was just like, oh, that's life. That is abundant life. It's just to know that Jesus was just so excited, and I know he was excited for us to reconnect, because he just poured out and poured out and poured out, and my soul just got more and more and more healing balm, oil of joy, energy, desire to just get okay with whatever happens at Christmas next year. I mean, I do care about it, but relative to the rest of my year, am I going to spend all of 2025 worrying about what we're going to do next December and Christmas? No. I want to be excited about what God's doing today. And I think that's the beauty of abiding, is that I am, that Jesus is here with me today. He tells me not to worry about tomorrow. He said, just remain in my word. And so I can just go to whatever it is that he's having me to focus on in his word. And that's the place where I have that sap and vitality and energy flowing, and where I'm so thinking about, Jesus, you're so amazing. You love me so much that even though I have kind of ignored you a little bit during this busy holiday season, I thank you so much that you love me with such an amazing love. It's so big, it's so wide, and it's so complete, and it's so unconditional. So that is kind of a peek into my time with Jesus and what abiding looked like on me. And, you know, part of that, just one more little addendum to that, part of the equation of that is for me to have a place that I'm focusing on in Scripture, and to know that what, no matter what Jackson and Caitlin choose to do, no matter what happens on the world scene, if the forest fires come to Alabama, you know, no matter what happens, that God's word is still true, it's eternal. And with the last verse on our page, I'll close, it's forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So I can rest there, knowing that God's word is settled, and if I'll focus on staying connected to him and depending on him and just abiding and remaining and meditating on that word, that I'm, you know what, my life will be fruitful and I can enjoy the love of God. So that's my prayer for all of you. And I'm just going to say, I'm going to recommend this to all of you for something I just picked up from that song we sang, is just saying, when I start feeling that little feeling of being kind of off or worried or whatever, it's just going, okay, Lord, I depend on you for this. I'm going to depend on you for Christmas, and I'm going to depend on you for whatever other thing comes up too. So that's all for today. I was going to try to give you a little bit more time in group, and not sure how successful I was with that. But anyway, we have a lot to catch up on. So let me close this in prayer. You can write your one thing, and then we'll go to group. So, Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the testimony that you gave us in your word about how you lived on earth. Lord, it's a great testimony. Thank you for explaining that to us and showing us how we just need to come and turn to you, and that you're going to be right there. That's a certainty that you're right there. And that we can focus on your word, which is forever settled in heaven, and it's completely true. Your word is the truth. And we thank you, Lord, that you fulfill all the words that you speak, all the words that you've written, and that, Lord, we can just abide in that, and we can abide in your love. Lord, thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for loving us so incredibly beautifully and completely and powerfully. And Lord, we ask that you would take your love and that you would drive it deeper and deeper as we open our hearts to you, as we come to you and depend on you and abide in you. Lord, teach us how to abide. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.